Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Hear the word of our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And then our New Testament lesson from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Hear his word today. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, she showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our heart and teaches us about you and the challenges you have set before us, the challenges of service and faith. Gracious God, may your word light our path and guide our hearts today and tomorrow and every day. Gracious God, hear this our prayer and illumine your word through us. Amen. Just a few little known facts about today. Today started out as a Christian holiday. It started out as a greater celebration of women and mothers back in 1908. Anna Jarvis at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church organized this first celebration. And today it has become both secularized and commercialized. And in many ways, the growing of it, the secularization, helps us to celebrate the women beyond our walls and our doors. But it started. It began in the church. And we celebrate today not just all the women, but the women who led the church in the early days as well. Now, we talk about this moment where we see Dorcas or Tabitha, whichever name she would have. And amazingly, she is called a disciple. She is the only time when the word disciple is found in the feminine, when it refers to her in Acts. Now, there's a group of women in this group of disciples, but this is the only time in which one disciple is referred to individually by name as a woman. Now, she is a very active woman in her church, in that church in Joppa. She's very active in devoting herself to good works, acts of charity, looking after the widows in her congregation and in her community. Specifically, her particular mission is to make clothing for the widows. We see this when Peter is there and all the widows are showing him what was made by Tabitha, all the various things. Now, in our day and age where you can pop over to the store and buy new pants, new shirt, new blouse, this isn't such a great moment. But think about all the effort, all the work, all the labor it takes to make full clothing. Even if you're a practiced sewer. I remember, and this goes back many, many years, when my aunt made my older sister and I, and maybe my brother, it's in that realm of years when Rob was around before Jenny, and Aunt Helen sewed for us all of our cute little Easter outfits. And after that year, she never made them anymore. But maybe she learned her lesson. But that is Tabitha Dorcas's ministry, is to do the effort, to do this little thing for the women in her community who have lost. Now, we look at that and we see the pride that these women have. We see the joy at what she did for them. And that should resonate with us, because here are the women, the least of these in this community, who are specifically being looked after by this woman. And we might say, oh, she's only sewing clothes. But when I think back of when my mom lost my dad and I was 13, how much was on mom's plate in that moment? It was full. Between trying to put food on the table, actually putting food on the table, and everything else, it was chaos. And then there was the upkeep of the house and everything else. To think of how a small thing, like not having to make your own clothes, would have helped those widows and their families. You think about how much of a blessing that would have been. For me, when we lost Dad, it wasn't clothes that people dropped off, it was meals. And we had a deep freeze full of lasagna, because that's how church people tend to say, we're sorry for your loss, we want to support you, it's lasagna. So even before the tomato allergy, lasagna was not high on my list. The fact is, all of this points to the wealth of work this woman did for her community. And it speaks to the hurt, the pain that they are now collectively feeling. This wasn't a small loss for them. But the other piece is, they have hit the point where she is dead. In Scripture, we notice that dead has different levels, and now even in modern science, we understand that there are points in which dead is not necessarily dead. But for them, they have to wash the body. They have to check and make sure, follow the normal funeral rites. So she is dead. And so they send for Peter, not necessarily expecting him to resurrect her, but at least to assist them. They bring in, so to speak, the titan of the church. They bring in Peter to officiate over this service, to honor her ministry, honor what she's done. They bring in the big gun. Kind of like when you bring in Rev for a service once in a while, you know? Now, that leads us to two questions that you can't answer, and that Luke doesn't provide in his story. We can only guess. And those two questions are really hard, because we're asked to wonder about what's going on and what role has somebody taken on Tabitha's role within the community, and why is Peter so paramount to bring in? Are they expecting something? Are they expecting him to do more than just lead the service? Can't answer those. But we can answer what Peter does. And he takes very deliberate steps as he gets there. And we see certain callbacks to earlier moments in Scripture, earlier moments from the Gospels. We might think, well, I remember when Jesus raised the little girl. I remember when Jesus raised up Lazarus. There are similarities here, but there's a big, big difference. Sure, Peter, like Jesus, sends everybody out of the room. But Jesus, when he raises Lazarus and the little girl, he isn't calling on a higher power, a higher being. He is that. But Peter knows whose help he needs, whose spirit he needs, who is going to help him to raise this woman up. And so he prays. He prays and points to who is going to bring her back. And she is raised up. She is raised up in this community. She is lifted up. And we see this moment. We see this significant part of this congregation brought back. Now, what does this do? Why does this matter? Well, the biggest piece is it's a transition. You know, you see the power of Jesus. Jesus does a lot of things. He's very oriented on miracles, on teachings. But Peter's got a little problem. A problem with his whole three-time denial. Peter, there's this resurrection of Peter that happens in the early church. When last we saw him way before, it was the three denials, and Peter essentially has to claw his way back from that. God has to build him back up from the brink, essentially. And in many ways, there's this huge transitional moment where Peter is shown to have the power of God behind him. And this matters because you don't want everybody looking over Peter's shoulder. It essentially is anointing Peter as leader, as guide. Think about this. If you hire a head coach or a CEO to replace a great or much loved coach or CEO, what happens every step along the way? There's questions. Well, I don't think Ditko would have done it that way. Are you really sure that Joe Torre would have done it that way, Joe? Speaking of Joe Girardi. Every step along the way, there's questions if God doesn't build him back up. God has to do this. God needs to do it. Luke is affirming both the position and power of Peter in this story. So it's not just about Tabitha being raised up from the dead, but it's about the power of making him so much more. And then we get to the next part, because why does it matter that Peter is going to be brought up? Peter needs to be brought up because he's about to do something. He's about to do something big. He's about to step on some toes, challenge some thinking, and it matters. Transitions of leadership are messy. They aren't clean. And God is making it as clean as you can. It's funny that I'm talking about transitions and then all the news broke on Thursday, right? You didn't know that we got a new pope and he's from Chicago and all of you didn't know that happened? Holy Moses, it was on every channel, on every station, it covered everything. The fact of the matter is, there is a ceremony, a tradition for changing leadership. Even in the Reformed Church, we have a list of how changes in leadership happen. Consistory changes the minister. There has to be a transition, and guess what? We've learned. It took us 2,000 years plus, but we've learned. The fact is, God hasn't had a transition yet that got us here. God has to walk the body of believers all the way through this transition. They have to lead on. God signals a change. See, what we lose sight of in what happens with Tabitha and what he does for the congregation in Joppa covers what happens after. And it's absolutely a footnote in everything. So God builds up, lifts up Peter and anoints him, signaling that he is now the guy in the church. And what happens next? He goes and stays in the home of a tanner. And we're like, oh, okay. So he stayed at a tanner. Think about what it takes to tan leather. It is dirty. It is disgusting. And to the congregation of believers that were raised from the Jewish faith, they would have considered him unclean. And yet this leader, this high man in the church, this top-notch anointed man, he is now staying with an unclean man. And that is how God signals the doors being thrown open wide. It's the very first drop, the first trickle, before God is going to open wide the doors for the Gentiles. For the Gentiles who are all around the greater ministry of the church. So again, we go back to our Easter question of how is the resurrection present? And I realize in this story, it's really hard to not go stick to Tabitha. You know, how is the resurrection present? Well, Tabitha resurrected. But the other part is, in Tabitha's resurrection, there is a resurrection in Peter. Peter, who denied Christ, who had held back, who people had probably whispered about and questioned, well, why is Peter leading us? We hid out. He denied him. He has to navigate that. And yet God resurrects him, cuts the millstone from around his neck, and lifts him up as the leader. It's also about resurrecting Peter as much as resurrecting Tabitha. It's resurrecting the ministry, the spirit that was in the church in Joppa. It's giving them guidance forward. Think about how God prepares us for moments, how God assists our churches and assists us. Think about how God resurrects our churches continually. It's a continuing process of our churches growing and shrinking and growing and shrinking. The challenge is, how do we participate in God's resurrection? How do we participate in these little moments of resurrection around us? When God presents us with a moment for which God has fit us for which we have been given and called, how do we respond? May we listen to the ways God has prepared us and made us ready, for all the ways God equips us, but most of all, for all the ways that God is working a resurrection in and through our lives. Amen. Brothers and sisters,